I'm also going to be preaching today, so you'll be seeing me a lot. just today, as we're going to be preaching God's Word, I just want to start off by telling you a story from my youth. When I was maybe 16 or 17, our family had just a family friend. He was in his 60s or so. He worked at the local high school and occasionally would help him out with different projects and so forth. And so one day he asked me if I could load some kind of long boards into his van because he was going to take them to another friend's house and they were building a deck or something like that. And so he said, "Brendan, just what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to take the van to my house and you're going to take all the seats out and just kind of put them in the garage so there's enough room." So it was one of those like vans where you have the two rows behind the driver. And I said, "Sure, not a problem. I'll do that." And then drive him to the location. He said, "It'll probably take you like, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes to get it all done." Perfect. Not a problem. So I get to his house and I look at the pile of boards and I think that's not actually that many boards. You know, I really think I could probably just fit them like in the space between all of the seats. You know, there's not really a need to take out all the seats. That's just kind of a bunch of extra work. So I figured, you know what? And this is me channeling 16-year-old me. He's kind of old and, you know, he's overly cautious. It's like when your mom tells you to wear a jacket when you're going to go from one heated building into another heated building. You know, there's not really a need. So I figured, okay, I'll just start loading these. So start loading the boards, and I get through about a quarter of the boards, and I can't fit any more in. There were far too many to fit in just that little middle space, but I thought, you know what, that's fine. We can work with this. All I really need to do is take out the back row of seats, and then what I can do is I have the boards going down the center. I can just have boards kind of going diagonally in a cross shape. So put those in there, and then some more boards in there. So at this stage, it's a little hard to get the seats out because now you have a bunch of boards kind of pressing into them, but I managed to get the seats out, and I'm getting a little winded at this point because it was a little more effort than I intended, and I'm not, nor have I ever been a particularly strong person. But so I do that, and I just start loading the boards in this nice cross shape. And this time, I get about a third of the boards in before I realize I really need to take all of the seats out. Only now, trying to get that front row of seats out has become much more difficult because I have them being pinned with an X shape. So what I have to do now is I have to remove all of those boards that I put in that X shape to then remove the front row of seats to then load all the boards back in and finally take them to their destination. And so what was supposed to take about 15, 20 minutes took me about 45 minutes to an hour of much more labor than was necessary. Now, I'm not simply telling you this story to let you know that I'm bad at calculating space. What I hope to show you, and what I hope to show you through Scripture, is that at that age, there was a fundamental quality that I lacked, and that fundamental quality was wisdom, was the ability to receive instruction, to make skillful decisions based off of that information in a way that was harmonious with the reality of the situation that I was in. And today, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the first seven verses of Proverbs, which Proverbs is a book dedicated to wisdom. And what I want to do in this particular sermon is twofold. So, of course, all Scripture is profitable for all people. But what I really want to focus in addition to preaching in a general way, is to specifically aim this at a subgroup of people, and that is young adults, or proto-adults that I have here, just to keep the P's there. And the reason for that is, I think, sort of between the age, like when you hit puberty, probably into your mid-20s, that's really a stage in life in which you're most susceptible to potentially making unwise choices. And it's also a point in your life where you have a lot of decisions to make, a lot of decisions about what you're going to do with the rest of your life, where you're going to go to college, if you're going to go to college, what job you're going to do, so forth and so on. And so this sermon really is targeted at you young adults. So if I stare at you while I'm preaching, you'll know why. So I'm looking at all you young folk. But that is sort of what we're going to be doing today. So I'm going to read for us Proverbs 1, 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let me pray for us. Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, that you gift us with wisdom, Lord, that you grant us the ability to make wise decisions, to understand your created order, Lord. And we just thank you so much that you have authored through human means these books like Proverbs that instruct us in how to live wisely. And so, Lord, just pray that as I preach today that you'd be with me, Lord, that your words would be carefully explained, Lord, and that your spirit would give strength to that and open hearts to hear. And so, God, we just praise you and ask these things. In Christ's name, amen. So, part of the reason why I selected this passage, not only because it deals with wisdom, but Proverbs is a book which, incidentally, is uniquely targeted towards young people. And that may not seem to be the case just as you initially start reading it, but that's why I think it's important to sort of examine the background of Proverbs. So Proverbs itself is a collection of proverbs, which are typically short sort of pithy statements that give wisdom about certain situations. There's also more extended discourses within that, but it generally trying to give advice for practical living. It's living and life. So a great example from the proverbs, something that pops up quite a bit, is basically a general idea that working hard is more advantageous to a person than being lazy, than not working hard. So a simple, pithy example of this is Proverbs 14:23. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. So this is a statement essentially of God's ordering of the world, ordering of human relations, ordering of the way that the world works. So generally speaking, working hard is preferable to not working hard. You'll see in other places in Scripture, this isn't necessarily a guarantee, this isn't a formula or anything like that, but this is a general principle. And so to act wisely is to acknowledge this general principle, is to acknowledge that God has created the world in a certain way, that it functions in a certain manner, and simply acquiescing to that and behaving in that manner. That's all wisdom is. It's living skillfully, if you will, knowing these principles, knowing God's order, and trusting in God that his order is good. So here in this first purpose then, stating that these proverbs are for the purpose of wisdom, is stating that reading these proverbs, absorbing these proverbs, is going to give you that wisdom. It's going to help you to live within God's created reality, and to do so skillfully. As a corollary to that, we have the word instruction, that this is also to receive instruction. And this is an element of Proverbs that you're going to see a lot, talking about being instructed, talking about receiving instruction. Because in order to gain wisdom, a person has to be willing to learn those principles, has to be willing to learn what God would have to tell them. So in order to have wisdom then, reading the Proverbs, you're going to have to allow yourself to be instructed by them. Reading the Proverbs themselves is a form of instruction. And so by doing that, Solomon is hoping that the reader would gain wisdom and that they would be able to be instructed. So this is first purpose here. Moving on to the second purpose, Solomon wants his readers to be able to understand words of insight. And this is simply just a way of saying he wants people to be able to understand wise sayings, to be able to understand things like you'll find in the Proverbs. So that's a pretty short, pithy way of saying that, but that's just generally what he wants his readers to understand, is to know the teachings of the wise, understand the things that are said by those who are wise. So this is purpose two. Moving now into purpose three, we actually see that Solomon has a list of four things that the reader is then to take out of the Proverbs. So he wants them to be instructed firstly in wise dealing, then in righteousness, justice, and equity. And what's important to note about these four elements here is that these are both ethical, so this has to do with the realm of doing behaviorally good or bad things. And as part and parcel of that, they're relational. These are deeply relational things. So wise dealing with someone means you're going to be dealing with someone. Acting in a way that is righteous or just or equitable, another word for that is just acting fair, has to do with how you're interacting with other people. And so I think it's important to pause there and to acknowledge that these are ethical and relational elements, because Proverbs and wisdom are not simply elements of life that you are going to do just for your own advantage or just have to do with you as an individual, as an island unto yourself. So as an example, let's say that you take it upon yourself, you hear that proverb about working hard, and you look at other ones, and you say, you know what, I'm going to work very hard. So let's say as a young person, you decide you want to start a business, and so you work very hard, and your business is very successful. If you don't mind going to the next slide. Click it again real quick. Well, that's okay. but let's say, yeah, you have a business, and it's very successful. So you've taken that to heart. You work very hard. But let's say that as a part of that business, you also find every way possible to pay your employees as little as you can, just penny pinch them to death. So this is one thing you do. Let's say that also, when you have like people coming in to do contract work for you, you delay paying them as much as you can. You just keep putting it off. You get the bill in. You just kind of shove it under the rug. And let's say also that when you interact with your employees, you berate them, you demean them, you swear at them, and so forth. But at the end of the day, your profit margins are very high. Whatever your business, you're selling balloons. I don't know. But your profit margins are very high, and you followed the proverb to work hard. So a question arises, are you a wise person? No. You're actually a foolish person. You may have taken one thing to heart, but you've ignored the other elements of wisdom, the other elements of living according to God's reality, which is living in a way that is righteous, just, and fair. So Proverbs are not simply, you know, a self-help thing, you know, five steps to having a better life now. It's a way of living your life, again, that accords with God's reality, not just you as the individual, but you living in community, you living with other people. So being wise is going to involve other people as well. And so moving then finally to the fourth purpose that he outlines, Solomon states that he wants to give prudence to the simple and discretion to the youth. So he identifies now two categories of people that he's aiming at. So you're going to find in Proverbs the mention of the simple quite a bit. And the simple are simply people who, by virtue of ignorance, by virtue of gullibility, being naive, are easily tempted into the wrong path, are easily tempted into walking in a way that is foolish. And the second category are the young. And I mean no offense, but Proverbs tends to link the simple and the young together. So if you go to Proverbs 7, it is talking about a man falling into adultery. It talks about this man being both simple and being young. So I mean no offense to anyone who is young. And Scripture is not saying that by virtue of your age, you are sinful or anything like that, but it is merely making the wise observation that with a lack of experience, which simply comes from a lack of age, it is very easy to be swayed one way or the other into things that may be foolish or harmful. And so to the simple, to the young, Solomon wants to give prudence and instruction, wants to give essentially a way, again, of living skillfully. So a lot of these words are basically synonyms for wisdom, that maybe you're drawing out a slightly different element. So prudence would be acting in a way in your dealings which it has a certain decorum, has a certain understanding. And again, giving instruction is simply speaking to those who are young and instructing them in the right way, in the wise way. So again, for those of you who are young, we know from both the background of why this is written and one of the very purposes of Proverbs, this is directed to you. This is very intentionally directed to those who are young. Again, not because there is something sinful about being young. It's not like you hit, I don't know, 35 and you're great. That's not what it's saying, but it is simply acknowledging the fact that with age comes experience, with age can come a certain modicum of wisdom. And so Solomon wants to reach the young. He wants to reach those who may have a lack of that through no fault of their own, but simply because of their age and inexperience. So again, Proverbs really is aimed at those of you who are young. And so I just want you to continue to hold that, continue to listen, continue to hear and ponder these things. And now, having explained these purposes, Solomon is now going to basically give a call for people to respond here in verses 5 through 6. And so he calls upon the wise to hear and increase in learning, and then that's just paralleled with the one who understands to obtain guidance. So it's just a poetic parallelism there, that the one who obtains guidance and the wise person, they're the same figure. And so he's telling them to hear. He's telling them to listen. And in Scripture, when the word hear is used, of course, sometimes it is simply auditory. You know, sound waves go in, you hear or you don't hear. So in 1 Samuel, Jonathan, Saul's son, doesn't hear a particular oath or command that Saul has made. And in that instance, it really is he literally didn't hear it. Some, I don't know, there was noise or something. But generally speaking, hearing in Scripture has an element not just of hearing, but obeying, following after, living after what is heard. And so Solomon here then is not simply saying, you know, read these words or hear what I'm saying, not simply let it go in one ear and out the other, but to hear, to obey, to listen to give respect for, to give merit to, this is what he is calling the wise to do. This is what he's calling people to do, is to listen, and so that they can obtain guidance. And then he slips in verse 6, just another sort of sub-purpose, which is to understand the words of the wise and their riddles. And this is sort of just another way of restating being able to understand words of insight. And what I think is something to take out of this, to understand from this call, are just a couple things. And I think, again, aiming this towards the young, I think some important things to keep in mind. So in calling the wise to hear so that they can increase in learning, implicitly in that statement is the idea that the wise still have something to learn, that once someone has obtained wisdom, they haven't arrived at some end state, but that they are still in need of wisdom. And so as a young person, I think there's two things to understand out of that. One is that if those who are wise still need wisdom, they still need to increase their learning, certainly as someone who is young, definitely would want to increase their wisdom and learning as well. I think of if you were to go skydiving, and it's your first time skydiving, you're a novice at it, and you're looking over at all the professional skydivers, and they're, you know, double-checking their parachute and all their things. If I see the pros doing that, I certainly should take the time to double-check my own parachute, make sure I'm not going to catapult into the ground. So that's the first thing to understand. The second thing, however, is even though someone is wise, doesn't necessarily mean that everything they do or say is going to be wise. So there could be a response to this, and perhaps hearing this talk of being young and in need of wisdom, that one direction you could run with that is, okay, I'm just going to listen to those who are older and wiser in every way, in every, you know, I'm just going to completely defer. And there's a certain wisdom in seeking out wisdom from those who are older, certainly seeking out the words of the wise, but also understanding that those who are wise still need wisdom, that not everything that is going to be said is going to be wise advice. Not everything you're going to hear is going to be perfect. And so basically avoiding two poles. One is just thinking you don't need wisdom at all, ignoring that fact. And then the other pole is just basically deferring your decision-making, deferring your own wisdom to other people. And so you don't want to do that, and that's not what Scripture's calling you to do. It's calling you to cultivate this wisdom yourself. And sometimes that wisdom is going to involve seeking the words of the wise, but not in a slavish way, not in an automatic deference, but in a way that itself is wise, in a way that is intelligent and discerning. So I hope that that is helpful, just seeing that from the text, that implicit claim and the application that can come from that. And so Solomon then concludes this call, and then he moves into the final section of the text. So we've heard about the purposes of wisdom. We know it's for, or purposes of the Proverbs, we know it's for giving wisdom, giving instruction. We know that we've been called to wisdom to increase our learning, to obtain guidance. But how do you actually get wisdom? What's the starting point of wisdom? You know, it's very helpful to tell me, you know, what the destination is, but if you don't tell me where to start, you know, we're not going anywhere. And so Solomon does this, again, in this introductory section. And he says in verse 7 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I think it's important to unpack what that is. What is the fear of the Lord? If this is the starting point, and it seems a little ambiguous, it seems a little hard to understand, it would be very important to understand what that is. What does he mean by fear of the Lord? And I think to explain that, the best place to start is explaining what it is not. So if you could go to the next slide. All right. Who knows what this is? The shark. Yes. That is Bruce the shark from Jaws. So you haven't seen Jaws. It's about a killer shark in Massachusetts killing people. And this image here is of the mechanical shark they used in the film, affectionately named Bruce after Steven Spielberg's lawyer. I don't know how I'd feel about it if I was his lawyer, but. Now, you may notice something, in addition to this image, is that I am facing this wall. And the reason for that is I love Jaws. It is one of my all-time favorite movies. But I am terrified of Bruce. To the extent that I actually asked the team if there's a way that they could display this image just on these screens and not on that screen. Because when I see Bruce, and I've seen Jaws probably a dozen times, it doesn't matter. Every time he first pops up, I start sweating, my heart rate jumps up, I get really jumpy. If my wife like moves around, I'll start being like, don't move, don't do anything. I can't close my eyes in the shower for very long. That's been going on for decades. So I say all this to say that the fear that I have of Bruce the shark, this abject fear that makes me want to hide, that makes me want to keep my eyes open in the shower, is not the fear of the Lord that is being talked about. Would you be able to take that image down? Is it gone? Okay. That would have been a good time to trick me. I'm glad you did it. So, that kind of fear is not the fear of the Lord. Solomon here is not saying that the path to wisdom is to be an abject, servile fear of God, that when you see God coming, you run for the hills. That is not what is being talked about here. That would not be in the service of wisdom. So then, if that is not the fear we're talking about, what kind of fear is there? I thought that being afraid like that is really the only kind of fear. And so, to maybe get closer at this definition, closer at the fear that's being talked about here, is think about what would happen if the president of the United States walked in here. Pick your favorite president, whoever you like the most. If the president walked in here, unless something crazy is going on, none of you would duck under your seats or try to run out of the building. You're not terrified of the president, but you would have a certain level of maybe awe at the fact that the president is here, a certain reverence for his position, a certain, you know, you'd want to have a certain decorum with him around. You'd want to basically not do anything crazy. You'd have a respect, a very strong respect for him. And that kind of respect, in a way, is a fear. It's not a fear that he's going to do something terrible to you, but it is this very strong respect, and this strong respect that's going to inhibit you from doing anything, perhaps in the case of the president, to make a fool of yourself. But when that's applied to God, it's a reverence for him because of his goodness, because of his grandeur. It's an awe. So if you would, you know, sort of be want to be your best for the president, how much more would you want to do that for God? And not just because he's the king of the universe, but also because he's good, because he's loving, because he's just, because he's caring. That's the fear of the Lord that is being talked about here. It's this reverence for, and it's also this submission to, the goodness and the grandeur of God. And as you see the development of this idea within the New Testament, a good corollary for that fear of the Lord is having faith in the Lord. It's having faith which comes with respect, it comes with reverence, it comes with awe, and it comes with trust. Trust that God is good, trust that God is great. And so that is what Solomon is saying here is the beginning of wisdom. It's having this reverent fear of the Lord with faith and trust. And so I think why this is important to focus in on, not simply because it is the conclusion to this section, but also because I think as a young person, and really any of you, this is the most important thing to hear from this passage, is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And I think particularly as a young person, perhaps up to this point as you've been listening, there is a way in which what's being said, this sort of the tenor of the sermon, could be construed in a way that is very similar to messaging that you just might hear in culture and daily life, that basically you need to work harder, that you need to develop a skill set, that you need to improve yourself, basically adding another thing to your to-do list. And I think that that's particularly damaging to the young because studies have shown that in the past few decades, the mental health of people age 25 and under has declined sharply versus their parents at that same age. And a large reason for that is that the pressures of being a young person today are very different than the pressures that may have existed for your parents. That now there is this scramble for doing all you can to make sure that your life is going to be successful. Perhaps it's you need to do a bunch of extracurricular activities so that you get into a good college, so that you choose a good career, and then you choose a good spouse, and then you have a good life, and so forth and so on. Or maybe you don't want to do that, and you want to get a job. But what job? What am I supposed to do? I got to work harder. I got to do this. I got to do that. This endless sort of rat wheel that you can find yourself on. And hearing up to this point, perhaps that is something you're thinking that, well, this is just another thing added to my list. I got to make sure, you know, I work really hard at school, and I got to make sure I develop the skill of wisdom, and I got to do A, B, and C, all these other things that are going on. And so this is key because this is what distinguishes godly wisdom from worldly wisdom, is that the beginning point of biblical wisdom, biblical knowledge, is not in you doing something. It's not in you adding another thing to your list of decisions or adding another thing to your list of activities, but it is simply placing your trust, reverencing, fearing someone who has your best interests at heart. And so to fear the Lord, now that we have had the events of Easter and Christ's death and resurrection, means simply to fear God, to fear and trust in what God has done through his son Jesus Christ, that you have the ability to be forgiven through what he's done, that you have the ability to be a part of God's family, and that God, again, has your best interests at heart. And that is not something that you do. It's not that, okay, once I get everything together and I'm a good, smart, wise person, that me and God can be chummy. Not at all. It's simply, again, placing faith, fearing, having trust in God through his son, Jesus Christ. If there's anything that you take away from this message, that is the main point, is that if you're seeking wisdom, if you're hearing all this about wisdom, that is the path to wisdom, not through doing more, not through performing better, not through adding another thing to your list, but by simply acknowledging and fearing God in what he has done in Christ. It's not effort, it's faith. It's not another thing to do, it's something to receive. And so this is the central point here. And again, the beginning of wisdom is that placing your faith, is that fearing God through Christ. And so as we bring this message to a close, there is something, simply one last thing that Solomon mentions, this last line of verse 7, which is, "Fools despise wisdom and instruction." And this isn't simply a statement that Solomon is saying, but this is an implicit warning to the reader for them to understand that to despise, to reject what you are hearing, to reject what Solomon is trying to say, is to be foolish, is to walk in a way that does not accord with the way that God has created the world, that does not accord with the reality of his plans, with the reality of his good creation. And as you read Proverbs, you're going to see what the result of that is. You're going to see what the result of foolishness is. And so hear both the invitation, but also that warning that Solomon gives, the invitation to a path of wisdom, an invitation to a path of knowledge, but also a warning that to reject that will end poorly, that to reject that is to be foolish. And so as we bring this sermon to a close, that is what ultimately Scripture is imploring to you through the Proverbs here today. We've seen firstly the purposes of Proverbs, the purposes to bring wisdom, instruction, to live in accordance with God's reality as he has created it. We've heard the call to gain wisdom, that we understand that we're always in need of wisdom no matter how wise we are. And we've also heard the invitation and the warning, the invitation to place our faith, to fear God, to walk on the path of wisdom, but also the warning not to do the opposite, not to follow after foolishness. So with that, again, just implore you to hear God's word through the Proverbs and to start as a young person on that path of wisdom, following after God, following after Christ, and in that way, living in God's reality. Let me pray for us. Lord, we just thank you so much for today, Lord. We thank you for, Lord, your words of wisdom. Lord, that your word gives life, that your word gives us everything we need to live wisely, Lord, and that where that starts is with your Son, Lord. Where that starts is with you. And so, God, we just pray now, Lord, that our hearts would receive that, Lord, that we would act in that on faith, Lord, and that you would richly bless that. We just ask these things in Christ's name.